Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The 12th annual Bang on a Can Summer Music Festival at Mass MoCA is taking place through August 3rd. The three-week intensive residency program of public performances, recitals, and lectures will be attended by over 50 cutting-edge composers and performers from around the globe, including 37 fellows selected from a pool of over 250 applicants from 17 countries. Festival highlights this year include the Composer Premiere Concert on Monday, July 29th, showcasing brand new works written by the Summer Festival Composition Fellows, the 12th annual Bang on a Can Marathon at Mass MoCA, featuring more than 50 musicians and composers in 6 hours of nonstop music, which closes the festival on Saturday, August 3rd, and the Bang on a Can All-Stars and special guests performing Julia Wolf's evening-length art ballad Steel Hammer this Saturday at 8 p.m. in the Hunter Center at Mass MoCA. Co-founded Bang on a Can in 1987 with Michael Gordon and David Lang, and she joins us now. Julia Wolf, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks for having me.
This year's Bang on a Can Summer Music Festival at Mass MoCA will feature a performance of your work, Steel Hammer. That piece is inspired by the legend of John Henry, and I'm sure that most of our listeners are familiar with that legend, but I was wondering if you would sort of tell us a little bit about the story in case listeners don't know about it, and then
Absolutely.
What inspired you to create a work around that legend.
Well, the tricky thing about telling you the story is that there are over 200 versions of the ballad.
I'm
but
sure.
The essential story, though, stays the same, even though lots of the facts change. So the essential story is that there's this working man, John Henry, and his captain brings around a steam engine to take his place, basically thinking that the steam drill is going to dig quicker than John Henry. And he tells the captain, I'm going to race this engine, and they have this race, and John Henry wins. He digs deeper, but he doesn't exactly win because he dies. So that's kind of the thread that goes through most of the ballads, but other than that, all kinds of facts vary, or the focus of the tune varies from region to region, and that's essentially what became interesting to me, was that all the contradictions.
What are some of the biggest contradictions that stick out to you, if you can pull them out? I'm sure there's so many.
Yeah, no, it was really fun to do. I actually found this little library book of a musicologist from the 1930s who had gone down south to interview people and find out who was this man. The information varied widely. Like, he was this, he was that. My grandfather worked with him. My uncle worked with him. So people were really committed to their ideas about it. But in all the different versions, you'll hear where he's from, and that varies. The name of his woman, whether he was, and that was like Polly Ann, Liza Ann, Lucy Ann, Sally Ann, a lot of Anns for the rhyme there. And what he was, whether he was tall or short or strong or generally he was a big muscly guy, but in some versions not. And whether he was a cotton picker or a singer or a convict, was he true, was he false? I mean, there were so many takes on who this person was. But I think in most versions, he's a kind of hero, a kind of folk work hero who stood up to the establishment in some way, or, you know, just had a kind of pride in what he did. And that's what was interesting to me, too, was this whole relationship to the American worker and worker rights. And, you know, a lot of interesting questions come up.
When did you know you wanted to create this piece, and from the idea to it being done to your mind, how long does that take?
Well, I started with a sound before I knew that was going to be the story, and I wanted to go back to some of my own roots in music making and folk music. I played some mountain dulcimer and some wooden bones, and I was looking for that kind of raw, very beautiful raw sound that you find in Appalachian music and other American folk traditions. And then I went looking for the story. So, you know, over a period of months, I was searching out a story and kept coming back to this one. One thing that's fun, too, is there's a moment where his gal, Polly, takes over because John Henry's become sick, and she drives steel like a man. I thought, okay, I can do this story. There's Polly. She's really badass. And then I just started sketching things out. But I worked a good part of a year, at least, on writing the music and building the text. So I just put the text together myself. It's culled from all the different versions, but it's made by me. So I didn't work with an outside writer.
Right. And when you compose for this piece or for anything, how do you decide what instruments will be used and then find who will play them?
Well, this piece I knew I was setting out to write for the Bang in the Can All-Stars, and they're a set group of six players, amazing players. I've worked with them for years, so this is really like working with my buddies, and they're incredibly virtuosic. The guitarist in the band, for example, he's Paul Simon's music director, right, and plays all these various instruments like the dulcimer, and he clogs and he whistles and he plays harmonica. So all the band is, their musicianship's really broad. So I knew I had those guys, and their usual lineup is sort of half string quartet, half rock band in a way. They're an amplified group. And then to that I added the mix. But I knew I wanted voices, so I went looking and I found Trio Medieval. They were the original gals in the group. They're a trio from Norway, and this performance at Massimoco is the first time I'm doing it with American singers, and they're wonderful. They're great coming in for the first time, so it'll be sort of the debut of that trio.
This is the 12th annual Bang on a Can Festival at Massimoco. How is the lineup, the special presentations for the festival decided? Like, how does Steel Hammer become part of this year's festival?
Well, first of all, the Summer Institute is a gathering of young, by young I mean people in the beginning of their career, like early 20s to early 30s, musicians from all over the world, and it's because of an educational workshop wing of Bang in a Can, and we love being at Massimoco. It's fantastic, and we set it out to be this combination of workshop and festival. So we've have concerts every day in the afternoons, one at 1:30, one at 4:30, but then we have these highlighted concerts in the big theater. So we've always had a Saturday night concert that featured a composer, generally featured a composer. Sometimes it's had a theme, something like that. But we just thought Steel Hammers are kind of our up and running piece that's been touring, and it'd be fun to bring it up here. And so that's the Saturday night highlight concert in the Hunter Theater. And then we finish the whole thing with a marathon, which is a whole smorgasbord of fun and crazy stuff written by living composers. That's on August 3rd. So it's kind of, they're like the little sort of pillars in the middle of this whole festival of concerts and workshops.
How many people work on putting the festival together? And
oh,
is it like
gosh,
something you have to think about? You're playing all over the world, you're composing often, but you have to keep an eye, I would think, on the festival and on the All-Stars and juggle all of that to get it going all
well,
the time.
Well, we have a really strong team. In the very beginning, the three composers, me, Michael Gordon, and David Lang, did everything.
Right.
We swept the floors, we served the beer, we curated, we did everything. And little by little, we built an organization. So at this point, the office, I'm pretty sure there are five full-time people. Philippa Thompson is actually the person in our office who manages this Summer Institute. Kenny Savelson is the executive director overseeing kind of all of Bang in a Can. But there's just a great team. So not everybody comes up. Some people are still stationed down in headquarters in New York City.
Sure.
Philip was up here with some other folks running it. But it's a team, real team effort. So we've got the Bang in a Can staff, like maybe about 10 or so faculty come up to work with the younger fellows. And then there's the whole Massimoco staff doing a tremendous amount. So they house it, obviously, because they've got that beautiful art museum. And the staff there is moving things and working sound, and so it's a real collaboration. So I don't, if I had to count them, there are lots of them.
Many.
Probably in the hundreds or something. it's a big effort to make it all happen up here in the Berkshires.
How are the young musicians and composers selected to participate in the festival?
Well, they send their stuff in. And so for a composer, they send a piece in or several pieces. And then for a performer, they're sending a recording of a performance or a tape of them playing. And then they have to be really good. It's very competitive, actually.
I imagine.
150 composers apply this year. And we whittled it down to 10, which is more than usual. We usually have like 8 to 10.
Okay.
And maybe 20-something performers. I'm not sure the exact number. But it's an interesting process because we're not looking for 3 violinists and a harpist and a piano. You know, it's a prescribed lineup. Mm-hmm. We're just picking them because they sound really great. They're doing interesting things. So it makes it like a bit of a jigsaw puzzle when you start to put ensembles together when you have a couple of saxophones and a couple of percussionists. I mean, we're looking for repertoire that will work with this mix of instruments. But, you know, luckily we get a good enough spread that we can do some large ensemble pieces, some small pieces. It's a really exciting group. I think the main thing is the people coming have a certain kind of perspective and adventurous spirit, and they convene here and they go off and they stay in touch and they make groups together and festivals, and a lot comes out of it. We just incredible roster of the alums that come out of Bang in a Can Summer Festival. So that's very exciting. It's great for them to meet us and to work with faculty, but for them to meet each other is like, they're sort of like the wild and creative, crazy guy at their school. And then like, or actually a lot of them are out of school already. We're in their communities. And then they connect with those other folks.
Like-minded people.
Like-minded folks, yeah.
Gathered at Mass Mocha. That's wonderful. And are you in North Adams for the duration? You hang out and teach and interact for the 3 weeks?
Yeah, I try to stay longer. I mean, most summers I'm up in this area for like 3 months. Uh-huh. Because it's just, you know, get at it. I love New York City. It's an amazing place. Great place to be as a musician. But it's beautiful up here. So we try to station it. This year it's a little shorter, unfortunately. But usually I'm up for a big chunk of time, hanging out in the local places.
Sure. It has been a wonderful pleasure to speak with you today. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And on our way out here, we're going to hear a portion of Steel Hammer, a portion of a portion. This is called The States. Could you put this piece in a little bit of context for us?
Yeah, I mean, one of the interesting contradictory facts was the question about where John Henry's from. And so many states have claimed him as their own. And that was really kind of delightful to me and fun to set words like Kentucky and Alabama. So you might hear like Alabama, 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 Alabama. So just playing with the musicality of the names of the states was a blast. And that's the text for this, all the states that John Henry's from.
Steel Hammer will be performed as part of the 12th Annual Bang on a Can Summer Music Festival this Saturday at 8 p.m. in the Hunter Center at Mass MoCA. The festival runs through August 3rd. To learn more, visit bangonacan.org or massmocha.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.